from Romans chapter number 13. So we'll start with John chapter 9, and we're going to read verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Labor Day, the first day or the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contribution workers having made the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. June the 28th, 1894, Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September of each year a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and the territories. Some records show that Peter J. McGuire, General Secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners, and a co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, was first in suggesting a day in honoring those whom he quoted, who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. I think of Labor Day, I think of working. It's interesting that on the day we honor work, we don't work. But I like that. I like holidays. I like celebrating things. Labor Day. But really, as a believer, what we need to be thinking about in context to what Christ just gave us is we need to be thinking about working for the Lord. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 9, and he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. I am here, he said, to do my Father's work. I have to work while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. My thought is that we need to wake up. Because laboring day is coming to an end. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 says this. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This morning, my points will all start with wake up. And the title of my message is Labor Day is coming to an end. Father, I pray that you'll use me this morning as you've impressed upon my heart, my mind, this sermon. I believe it's your sermon that you're allowing me to be a part of. A sermon that you are going to preach using me as a vessel. I empty myself. Cleanse me. That was my prayer. Search me. Bend me. Fill me. Cleanse me. May my hands be clean, dear God. May my heart be pure. There are going to be several distractions this morning. I sense it already. People are going to be talking to one another. People are going to be looking at their phones, ignoring you. they think they're ignoring me, but they're not. And then there's going to be someone, there's going to be somebody that came to get. And Lord, will you just multiply that getting and give it to them abundantly? Will you fill them with your presence? That soul that doesn't know you, may they trust you this morning. We love you. We appreciate all that you've done. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Wake up! Look at the time. There's no doubt in the time that we are living in. The time that we are living in was different 10 years ago than it is today. Back when I started the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, the introduction, I preached my very first sermon on James on October the 10th, 2019. In just 1 year, look how far we've come. And not in a positive way. From running well over 200 every Sunday morning to now barely being able to reach 130 in 1 year. People are home, scared, afraid. Afraid to contact a disease that we've never seen, a virus that we know very little about, afraid to give it to a loved one, afraid to get it themselves. I understand all of those concerns. But if I were to tell you on October the 10th, 2019, that in 1 year's time you will no longer be in church because you're afraid to get sick, many people would have laughed me to scorn. And yet, here we are. A year ago, we could go on visitation, we could knock on doors. Whether we did or didn't doesn't really matter. It does matter, but that's not the point. Whether we did or didn't, we didn't do it thinking that somebody behind that door was afraid that I would give them some disease that could kill them. But now, we don't go knocking on people's doors because of that very reason. What if this was the last Labor Day for all believers? What if Labor Day has come to an end? A year ago, many people did not tell others about Jesus Christ. The world had an opportunity to hear, but we weren't really doing our part, possibly. And yet, now we can't do our part, and now the world can't hear, unless they're watching some way by internet. Wake up. Look at the time. There's no doubt that it's different. When I moved here 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago now, when I became the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in 2016, I made this statement. I was not trying to predict time. I was not telling you when the Lord is coming back. I wasn't setting a date. I wasn't trying to go buy some calendar or sell some book. I don't know when Christ is coming back. That's very clear in Scripture that no man knows when he's going to return and call his church home to heaven. No one knows. Only the Father, Jesus said. Only the Father knows. at that particular time when Jesus was living and walking on the face of this earth, when he was with his disciples, he says, the Lord is going to come back and rapture the church. He didn't use it in those terminologies, but he was teaching that principle. And he said, no man knows the time, only the Father. And so at that particular time, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, Jesus Christ himself had willfully chosen not to even know when he would rapture the church. Only the Heavenly Father knows. Not even 10,000 angels know when Christ will rapture his church. I don't even know at this particular time if Christ has chosen to know when his church will be raptured. He may, now that he lives in the heavenlies, have decided to know that again. All I know is I don't know. But 4 years ago, I made this statement. My dad had just died. The world was different. It was so different just 5 years prior to what I was existing in Tennessee. And I made this statement. I said, I believe, I would be shocked if the Lord doesn't rapture his church within the next 5 years. Again, I wasn't setting time. I don't know. But I said, I would be shocked, I would not be surprised if the rapture took place in the next 5 years for the way things are heading. That was 4 years ago. And I never, in my wildest imaginations or dreams or nightmares, could have come up with a scenario like 2020. Wake up. Look at the time. Paul said, and knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. Wake up. I heard an old Irish preacher say, wake up, ye sleepyheads. Wake up, church. Wake up. Look at the time. I've never seen or witnessed a time that fits biblical requirements for the last days than I am living in right now. Churches in the United States of America are being fined thousands of dollars a day. $5,000 a day. Jack Treber's church is being fined $5,000 a day. And $5,000 for every church service that is being held. 1 week's time, they're over $57,000 in fines. Today will be another $15,000 in fines because they will meet today, three times today. By next week, they'll be over probably close to $100,000 in fines. In the United States of America, government is fining churches for having services when in the Constitution it clearly says the government has no right, nor can it tell a church when and how to meet. And there's no clause. There's no exception clause. John MacArthur's church in California won their lawsuit, but the city of Los Angeles has revoked their parking privileges that they've held since 1975. You're going to meet? We're going to take away your parking. And they did. Not in North Korea. Not in China, but in the United States of America, in the state of California. And what happens in the state of California is always coming to West Virginia in a matter of a decade. Wake up, church. Look at the time. Rioters can riot. Streets can be destroyed. Mobs can meet together, and yes, I mean the word mob, to destroy one's community. A community, by the way, that they don't even live in. Paid assassins are what they are. And the government can't stop them at all, nor do they find them. But law-abiding citizens, such as churchgoers, are being fined $5,000 a day for just trying to hold service. And yes, they're social distancing. They're meeting all the requirements of the law. They're social distancing. They're making sure that nobody's within 6 feet of you. Everybody's wearing a mask. They're doing everything the law says, and yet they're being fined $5,000 a day now and per service. In the United States of America. I watched a video of a pregnant lady. I don't know anything about this video, but it kind of struck me a little bothersome. Not in this country, not in America. Happened in another country that is at least capitalistic. It's a democratic country. It's not a republic like we are, but it's a democracy. And they barged into her house, a pregnant lady, they barged into her house because she put on Facebook that she was going to have a rally to try to provoke some freedom that she wanted. They hadn't had the rally. She was going to have a rally. They broke into her house, or they went into her house. They arrested her in front of her small children and confiscated all the electronic devices, and she had nothing she could do about it. Her husband just stood there and videotaped the whole thing. What kind of world are we living in? I know that stuff happens in China, and I know that stuff happens in North Korea. I know that stuff happens in Cuba. I know that. But that wasn't North Korea, that wasn't Cuba, and that wasn't China, that was Australia. It's wicked. We're seeing government officials telling American people that the rules don't apply to them. They only apply to us. Hair salons and restaurants can be attended by those that have shut down hair salons and restaurants, but for the common folk to go into the hair salon or restaurant would be punishable by law, but they can do whatever they want because they are the officials. Hypocrites is what I would call them. Then you have the coronavirus. Is it real? Is it a political scam? Is it legitimate? Is it a punishment by God? Did God send it or did God allow it? I mean, the world's torn. Not the world's torn. Churches are torn. I mean, I could take a vote right now. How many of you think it's political? How many of you think it's real? How many think it's blown out of proportion? How many think that we're not taking it serious? And I would have 4 different votes. Probably down the middle. Quartered up sectionally equally. And then you have the ones at home. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if Victory Baptist Church is ever going to stand, it can't be standing while it's divided. It goes against biblical principles. It's impossible. I came to this conclusion last night. I was getting ready, and we just had Dave and Chris and I just had a beautiful prayer meeting last night. It really was. I felt the presence of God. And either this morning or last night, God just laid on my heart something. If you're living in fear, you cannot be right with God. And if you're right with God, you cannot be living in fear. And it's really, truly a word from the Lord that simple. people afraid of shaking hands, afraid to be around other people. I'm talking about living in a legitimate fear. Our government has never been this at odd since the Civil War. People are talking about a one world health care, a one world currency, a cashless society. And I'm telling you, this is all biblical prophecy. And we're like, I can't wait till this gets over with. Wake up! Labor Day is coming to an end. Wake up, church. Jesus is coming. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Talking about the rapture. No. Not the angels which are in heaven. Listen to this. Neither the capital S-O-N. Jesus says, not even I don't even know this. Not even the Son, but the Father. Then he says, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, Jesus left 2,000 years ago, and gave authority to his servants, that's us, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So Jesus went to heaven and said, watch. Here's the work that I want you to do while I'm gone. Get it done because I'm coming back. And then Jesus says in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even or at midnight. Or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus is coming. God warns us to be ready. We don't know the hour. I was reading a book written in 1973. It's a book about revival of the late 1800s to early 1900s. It's an old book. I paid $40 for this book because it's out of print. And I was reading this book recommended to me by John Van Gelderen. And it's a book about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on revival. And it gave a brief history, and it said this, among many things, this caught my attention. It certainly stood out. Listen, the author said, the 19th century closed in a glow of optimism. That's the 1800s, by the way, 1899. The 19th century closed in a glow of optimism. People looked forward to the 20th century, the 1900s, as a coming utopia. Christians were likewise optimistic, and their hope had become one of ushering in the kingdom of God before bringing back the king. In 1899, the Christians were like, the Lord's coming soon, the Lord's coming soon, the Lord's coming soon, and the Lord hadn't come yet. And now we're in the 21st century. What happened? Well, two world wars. But I love this particular ending to the chapter. A period of war and revolution engulfed the world. You know, that would be World War I and then World War II. A Great Depression even. But it was preceded by an extraordinary worldwide awakening. Right before God sent the war, God sent an awakening. I think that if I were to take a poll, a private poll, mark yes or no, do you think a war is coming to America in the near future? I would be surprised if not 90% of people marked yes. Well, if that's the case, It's very plausible that God's going to send a great awakening before the next war, the next great world war. We would call it World War III. Just studying history now, not making any predictions. See, folks, even back in the 1800s, the people were expecting a rapture of the church, but God wasn't done yet. Because before the wars, God sent an extraordinary worldwide awakening. And I don't know what's ahead when it comes to the freedom of America and what must be done to keep it. But I also will say this, that the great awakening is possible, that God will stir up His people and others will be saved. I truly believe God will send another great awakening, but He doesn't have to before the rapture. So we need to wake up, Christians, to the coming of the Lord, because Jesus is coming soon. Wake up! Because night is coming to an end. What does that mean? Does it mean that literal night has come to an end, that we're not going to have darkness anymore? No, the word night typically referred to sleeping in the night, and it's telling us to wake up. It's a spiritual manifestation. It's what the commentator said, the night. The word night in the New Testament is used to denote night literally, the starry heavens, and then it denotes a state of ignorance and crime, and is synonymous with the word darkness, such as deeds are committed commonly in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:5. In this place, it seems to denote our present imperfect and obscure condition in the world as contrasted with the pure light of heaven. The night, the time of comparative security, and sin in which we live in under the gospel, is far gone in relation to us, and the pure splendors of heaven are at hand. My friend, the state of ignorance is coming to an end because the day is at hand. What is the day? It's most likely talking about heaven. Revelation chapter 21 says, "And the city had no need of the sun," talking about heaven. "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." And I want you to know, when it's talking about the day is coming, heaven is coming for those that are a believer. The Lord is going to rapture His church, and we're going to one day be standing in the presence of God where there is no more night. And I'm telling you, we need to start working because Labor Day is coming to an end. We need to wake up because the Lord is at hand. Look at the time. Jesus is coming. Night has come to an end. The day is at hand. Wake up and cast off the work of darkness, Paul said. Hey, we need to stop living a life of sin. We need to have a pure heart, and we need to have pure hands. Our actions need to be pure. Our motives need to be pure. We need to repent and turn from the wicked ways. We need to cast off. We need to throw away. We need to get rid of an unholy lifestyle, and we need to put on the armor of light. Reading the same book that was written in the 70s, concerning the revival of the late 1800s and the early 1900s, it said this. It said, the church needed a revival for two reasons. The pulpit was powerless, and the pews were worldly. If that doesn't depict America, I don't know what does. We have to put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? We find that armor is found in Ephesians chapter 6. That's the armor of God. Why would one put on armor? Why does anyone put on armor? God said, put on the armor of light. Why in the world does anyone put on armor? To go play a game? The only reason anyone ever puts on armor is to go to battle. It's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. And I'm telling us, church, we need to wake up because the Lord is coming. Day is coming to an end. Work is coming to an end. The night is coming for the world, Eternal day is coming for you that are saved. We've got to cast off our evil works of darkness, and we have to put on the armor of light. America, if we're going to see America repent, it's going to be a battle. If we ourselves are going to be what we need to be for the Lord, it's going to be war on sin. It's a battlefield. It's not a game. The battle for our children is in full force. The battle of our minds is in full force. The battle of our time is in full force. The battle for morality is in full force. And we need to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Labor Day is coming to an end. The time is coming where we can no longer work. My dad, when he died 4 years ago, he laid his work plow down, never to pick it up again. When the rapture takes place, everyone that's a believer will have to say farewell to being a witness, and will have to say farewell to prayer. Those two things will never be a part of our life anymore, because we will be with the one who gave himself for us. Labor Day is coming to an end. The time is coming when we'll no longer be able to do the work for the Lord. Our life, existence, our time will have passed. We need to work while there's time. A year ago, if I'd have preached this message, people would have probably said, yeah, well, we got plenty of time. And probably today we're all sitting there thinking, how can I tell somebody about Jesus? They don't even want me to be on their front porch. I don't even know that we can labor like we used to anymore. The darkest night the world will ever see is coming. We won't be here to work. So let's resolve ourselves to work for the Lord. There is coming a time that you won't be able to trust Christ anymore, my friend, if you don't know Jesus. Please don't refuse him. Today is the day of salvation. Please get saved. Father, we need to wake up because Labor Day is coming to an end. And I pray that you'll just work in our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. I'm afraid that we, the church,